Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 998. Our topic is training, and the title is Training for Shape versus Size. So often people, when they get into the gym and they work out, there's going to be people who just want to lose weight. There's going to be people who want to perform a sport. There are going to be people who want to be super strong. There's going to be people who want to build as much muscle as possible. And then there's going to be people who will just want to improve their kind of overall shape. Now, there's probably some other categories there, but I think that was a pretty good inclusive list. So the people who want to improve shape, meaning that they kind of like how much they weigh, they like their general size, but they would like to fix just a few areas. Maybe they have very narrow shoulders, so they'd like to build up their shoulders a little bit. Maybe they have not as narrow hips, so they want to kind of bring those hips in a little bit. Maybe they want to create better shape to their glutes, but taper in the upper part of their thighs. Maybe it's a guy who wants to build their upper chest, make a big, maybe a little bit bigger shoulders, but they don't want too big of a back, they don't want too big of legs. So typically shaping is you have an idea of specific spots you would like to change, but you're not looking for the entire body to get bigger. So people who are training for size, that's pretty much what they want. They want everything to get bigger, and then maybe a couple spots also to kind of like quote-unquote catch up or bring up some weak points in their physique. So maybe they have a good overall physique, but they feel like their arms need to be bigger. So they want to make everything bigger, but they also want their arms to be like bigger. So what we're going to talk about today is the differences and similarities of how you should train if you're training for shape versus size. So again, we're defining shape as I like the size I'm at, I just want to improve my shape at my size. Whereas size is somebody wants everything to be bigger, but maybe they want a couple things to be bigger. So the greatest difference is actually going to be in nutrition. The training we're going to get to after we talk about nutrition is the training is actually very similar. They're very, very, very similar. There's some differences, and I'm going to go through what those are. But at the end of the day, what you're trying to do is shape, is you're trying to build muscle in specific areas as you lose fat in specific areas. But the process involves building muscle. When you're training for size, you want everything to get bigger, so of course you're building muscle. But one of the biggest mistakes people make when training for shape is they don't realize that they actually want those areas to grow. The areas that you want to be kind of a better shape, better curves, those curves only come from muscle tissue underneath the skin and the fat. So you have to build the muscle. So if you don't want so narrow shoulders, you have to actually build the muscle of your shoulders. If you want your glutes to kind of stick out from the side, so if you look at your hips from the side, and you want like a booty pop, you have to actually build the booty. There actually has to be some muscle that creates that curve that you would see when you see images of glutes that you'd like. So the biggest mistake people make when training for shape is they don't recognize that they actually want muscle size. You need muscles to grow to create the shape you want. This is important to know, not only so that way you train heavy enough and intensely enough to create muscle damage or stimulus for muscle damage, which means it's going to create the growth. So you're creating muscle damage that is the stimulus for muscle growth. But you need to train aggressively enough to get that muscle growth. So too often people train too lightly. The other part is people who are training for shape, they're always eating in a deficit. Meaning you're eating to lose fat, but you're not eating to build muscle. You're actually inadequately eating to build muscle tissue. Meaning you're going to be training your butt off in the gym. You're going to be eating healthy, quote unquote healthy. But if you're eating constantly in a deficit, what happens is you're going to slowly take off some body fat, but you're going to lose muscle tissue in the same way. So because you're not eating enough to actually maintain and certainly not enough to build muscle, then that's going to cause you to actually kind of lose beneficial body compositional change. So you'll stay the same shape, but you'll just be lighter. So one of the ways I've said this before is, you mean it might be shaped like a peach, or I mean a pear, there you go. You might be shaped like a pear, but if you under-eat as you're trying to train for shape, you will weigh lighter, you'll lose weight, but you'll still be shaped like a pear. So how you change your shape is to make sure you still eat adequate enough calories to build muscle tissue. Now, conversely, women will also make, and it's men too, but it's more common among women, is they'll make the mistake of actually overeating and inconsistently eating. So they'll undereat at, like, they'll miss meals during a day, they'll super undereat one or two days in a row, then they overeat a third day in a row, then they go back to undereating, and their nutrition is kind of all over the place. And what that actually equates to is actually gained body fat. Because your body is so severely underfed during the moments of starvation and kind of missed meals and whatnot, and too big of deficits. And then anytime you eat a little bit extra, the body tries to save it to replace that stress that it had from the times you were inadequately eating. So if you're inconsistent in your eating, if you're eating high and low all the time, then you're actually going to gain body fat. You might gain some muscle, you're more so just going to gain fat over top of the muscle you have, so you won't lose muscle, but you're not going to really gain much muscle. You're going to gain more fat than you gain muscle. So if you eat inconsistently, you're going to notice that you just get fat every time you lift weights. It has nothing to do with lifting weights, it's that you're eating inconsistently. If you're chronically under-eating, you'll notice that you're losing weight, but your shape never changes. So we need to correct these things. How we need to do this is to have a better balance of our nutrition timing. Now, we've talked about in past podcasts the importance of kind of paying attention to our calories. That's the number one biggest thing. Actually, we just talked about that in yesterday's podcast. Is calories is the number one biggest thing to pay attention to. You need to be accountable for your caloric intake. And we've talked about a billion ways on how to do this. But go listen to podcast 153. If you can't find the link, Google it or email me at brutalenergym@gmail.com. Listen to podcast 153. It'll tell you how many calories to eat. You then want to track that using like MyFitnessPal or some other kind of macro tracker. If you do that for a month, you'll probably learn enough that you don't have to do it for the rest of your life. So just invest it and invest the time into doing it. Okay. So what you'll find is there's a way to, if you listen to podcasts and do everything I just said in a very quick way, so go listen to podcast 153, and you can also listen to yesterday's podcast. But if you do that, you can find kind of what are the calories you need to kind of stay at the same weight you're at. You would want to, at times away from your workout, eat at a small deficit, maybe 5% under that. But then at the time around your workout, you're going to eat maybe 5% more than that. So not only do we have caloric cycling from non-training days to training days, you actually create caloric cycling within an individual day. This can get pretty complicated, but it actually is pretty easy once you have it set up. So if we think about our day, one of the ways I like to do this as an example is to set up our day in 4-hour time blocks. We have 24 hours in a day. 24 divided by 4 is 6. You're going to be sleeping for roughly 2 of those 4 units. So you're going to be sleeping for roughly 8 hours a day, plus or minus an hour here or there. What this means is that roughly we have 16 hours a day that we need to manage our nutrition. If we split those 16 hours into 4 4-hour blocks, we can manage 4 hours at a time. If I'm not lifting weights, if I'm not exercising during the 4-hour block, I will eat in a 5% deficit. If I am training during a 4-hour block, I will eat in a 5% surplus. What this does is this gives us a surplus around our workout time, which gives us the building blocks to build new muscle. But we're going to be in a deficit at all other times to help us lose fat. So listen to yesterday's podcast number 997, and that'll help make more sense to this. But this is how you would eat for shape, is you would have during the time around your workout, you'd be eating in a surplus. The times away from your workout, you'd be eating in a deficit. That'll help you build muscle when the demand to build muscle is present, and that'll help you lose fat when the demand to build muscle is not present. Now, the difference for eating for size is you want to eat to grow and just kind of manage any kind of fat gains. So people who are eating for shape, they want to eat to grow and to lose fat. When you're training for size, you want to eat to grow and just not gain unnecessary fat. So what this means is you would do the same kind of structure where the times away from workouts, you're going to eat a little bit less, and the times around your workout, you're going to eat a little bit more. But we never go actually into a deficit. So the time block around your training, the 4-hour time block that you train in, you should have about a 10 to 15% above your maintenance calories in that block. In the other 4-hour blocks, you should have about maintenance calories, maybe up to 5% extra, depending on how lean you are. But it's a controlled extra. So if you notice, it's 10 to 15% around your workout of a surplus, but 0 to 5% of a surplus away from your workout. You're still, just like the shape goal, going to be eating more around workouts, eating less away from workouts. Most people screw this up, which is why most people don't build as much muscle as they could, and they get unnecessary fat. So if we pay attention to our timing of our calories, then that is the biggest difference between training for shape versus training for size, is the training is going to provide a demand for a change of muscle tissue. It's then how we feed that demand, whether we get a lot of muscle tissue and a lot of fat, or we only get the muscle tissue that we want with minimal fat, or we get the muscle tissue that we want with fat loss. So nutrition is the difference. Now, for training differences, there are actually differences in how you would train somebody for shape versus size, but they don't mean anything if your nutrition isn't correct. So what I'm about to tell you with training doesn't mean jack shit if you don't have your nutrition on point. So if you do what I tell you to do training-wise, but you don't do what I tell you to do nutrition-wise, you'll think I'm full of crap and you'll say, oh, that training stuff you told me didn't work. No, it's because you don't have the nutrition in point. So if you don't know your calories, if you're not tracking them, you know, per timing throughout the day to make sure you have more calories when you're more active, less calories when you're less active, then that's on you. You need to be doing that to see the best results, okay? So training-wise, what we do, training for shape, you're going to be doing some movements that are specific for muscle damage, meaning you're going to fail the movement because you physically can't move the weight anymore, rather than you physically can't breathe anymore, or it's lightweight and it's burning like crazy in your muscles. You want some things in your training that are about 10 to 30 seconds of time under tension, meaning you cannot perform any more repetitions somewhere between the 10 to 30 second mark. It's so heavy that you could not keep going if you wanted to longer than 30 seconds. Okay? That's heavy. That's heavy, heavy, heavy. Most people don't do this. Now, within that work, we're going to call that muscle damage work. Work that's 10 to 30 seconds of time under tension for true failure. That is going to be to specific spots that you want to change. Meaning you're not going to try to do a big global movement like leg press or barbell squat if all you want to do is grow your glutes. You'll do hip thrusters. You'll do weighted movements for glutes. So, for example, in our gym, we have a machine called a Nautilus glute drive, which is a fancy way of doing a hip thruster. It's just easier and more comfortable. But that's going to be glute specific. You're not going to involve the thighs because we don't really want the thighs to grow. We just want the glute to grow. So for shape training, your muscle damage work is going to be very specific spots. So if I want my shoulders to grow, I'm going to do lateral raises. I'm not going to do overhead presses. Now, there's some argument here and there, so I'll leave that up to argument for people if they want to argue back. So one of the things people would argue back is, well, you can do a heavier overhead press than you can a lateral raise. That's true. But of that heaviness, who's taking the brunt of that? Is that the shoulder or the tricep? The triceps will likely take the brunt of that added weight, whereas in a lateral raise, the only thing you're moving is your shoulder. So you don't have to worry about the triceps getting overly involved. So you're going to have more isolative movement focus when you're training for shape, and you're going to have it isolated to the specific spots you want. That is going to be your muscle damage work, the work that's done for 10 to 30 seconds of time under tension. The rest of the work is pretty much done to just create volume, to burn calories, to create some time, some general movement, just to move and burn calories. That would be considered general volume training. So the first part we talked about was muscle damage training, muscle damage work. Then we have kind of our general volume work. For that, you're typically going to do circuits of movements. You're not going to do an individual movement. You're going to usually pair together 2, 3, 4 movements. And the total circuit time is going to be greater than 60 seconds of activity. that can be compound movements like leg press, you know, walking lunges, things like that, or it can be isolated movements if you just want to do, you know, single leg stiff leg deadlift into a goblet hold reverse lunge, where, you know, so you can definitely kind of tweak this to where it's smaller movements for circuits or bigger movements for circuits, whether you want just lower body, whether you want upper body, whether you even want to include some athleticism in there, you know, some jumping drills or explosive drills, things like that. But in shape training, you're going to be doing muscle damage work, which is 10 to 30 seconds of time under tension, true failure. Then you're also going to be doing general volume work, which is like circuits longer than a minute long, and just kind of burning the lungs, burning the muscles, just trying to chew through a lot of calories. So your training is going to be a blend of that. Whereas training for size, you're almost going to be exclusive to the muscle damage work, meaning damaging efforts that are going to be 10 to 30 seconds of time under tension. Now, here's a caveat. Generally, people who train for shape, they're not going to be worried about going too heavy, even when they're training for like their heaviest things, 10 to 30 seconds, because typically they're not going to be advanced strength levels. So 10 to 30 seconds, that's really heavy weights. And if you are advanced strength, that can actually accumulate to some joint stress. So if somebody's training for size and they're very strong, we actually bump that window from 20 to 40 seconds rather than 10 to 30 seconds. That allows for a little bit lighter weight load, but it's still muscle damaging work. And it allows for a little bit of ease on the joints. So if somebody's been lifting for a while, you know, if you're doing like chest presses with 80, 100, 120 pound dumbbells, you want to go more so towards like 20 to 40 seconds of time under tension. If you're still chest pressing, you know, say 20, 30, 40 pound dumbbells, then you want to go more towards the 10 to 30 seconds. Okay? It's just something to consider. Now, for size, they're going to be doing a lot of compound movements followed by isolative movements, meaning they'll probably do a barbell squat, some leg press, then maybe some hamstring individual work, maybe some quadricep individual work. But generally, you'll do bigger, more compound, more bigger muscle, heavier movement kind of focus. And then you're going to do very little, if any, kind of just movement to burn calories. You're trying to preserve calories so you can actually grow. So very rarely do they ever do kind of just circuits of mediumly weighted or lighter weighted movements. So an example of this, like let's go through an example of a shape workout. Now we're going to do a full body example. And this is actually an example I took a client through in both of these. And we're going to do a size example and a shape example. So for shape, we might warm up with some like a circuit of variations of glute bridges and planks. So we might even do like scapular retraction planks, which is helpful for core work, but also for helpful for posture. We'll do glute bridges. Maybe we'll do, you know, leg extended for hamstrings. Maybe we'll do cross-legged for glute work. But we'll kind of do a little bit of a circuit of one or two variations of glute bridges and one or two variations of planks. Then we go into kind of lower body movements, but they're going to be that more isolated focus that we talked about. So we might have somebody do a dumbbell split stance RDL and then Bulgarian split squats. So what this is, a Bulgarian split squat, if you don't know what that is, just pause the podcast and look for it on YouTube. But your back foot is going to be elevated on something. They'll commonly show it elevated on a bench. I don't really like a bench. It's a little too high. I like something maybe only like 6 inches off the ground, maybe a foot off the ground. That's it. And your back foot's going to be elevated on something for semi-balance, but just to get your back foot out of the way. And you're going to be doing basically a static lunge. You're just going to be kind of like single leg squatting, which is just a lunge in place. I prefer Bulgarian split squats where you're the weight's hanging at your hips, but you can also do a goblet hold of a Bulgarian split squat. And you're going to pair that with dumbbell split stance RDLs. The dumbbell split stance RDLs are very singular specific to the upper hamstrings and lower glutes, and it's unilateral, so you can balance on one side versus the other, so that way you don't develop, you know, inconsistencies or side-to-side differences. The Bulgarian split squat is great for kind of lower quadricep development down by the knee, and it also helps involve the lower glute as well. So it doubles up on the lower glute work, but the dumbbell split stance RDLs is lower glutes and hamstrings. The Bulgarian split squats are lower glutes and lower quads. So it's very specifically building the quadriceps by your knees, which helps to create a more balanced look in the thigh, so you don't have a really big upper thigh than really narrow knees. So it kind of blends out that muscle and rounds out that muscle from top to bottom. Okay? Then we might go into a circus set of dumbbell bent over rows and dumbbell standing lateral raises. So dumbbell bent over rows are great for your upper back. They also involve lower back and core stability work. They also put your glutes and hamstrings under tension. So it just kind of continues the annoyance of the glutes and hamstrings while working your upper back and involving your core. Dumbbell standing lateral raises, again, you can brace your core. To do these correctly, you want to have your hips accounted for, meaning that you're still going to have your lower body semi-active, but not in a weighted position, just active and accounted for. And then you're doing lateral raises to build the shoulders. We might finish with a circuit work of sled rows and pushes. So we have a cable, like a strap attached to our sled, and we'll do like a row where somebody will stand with the strap fully extended and their arms fully extended. Then they perform a standing row and it pulls the sled closer to them. They'll take a step or two back, get back into the stretched extended position. They'll perform a row that'll pull the sled closer to them, and they just kind of keep repeating that for maybe 20, 40 feet. And it gets in, you know, 5-10 repetitions of a row. Then we kind of use the straps, keep them in our hands, but we grab the handles of the sled and we push the sled back to the starting place. That works on arm extended in position, so it just kind of works on shoulder joint stability, but it more so kills the legs and burns up the lungs. And then we'll have them go into bodyweight squat jumps. And I've done that workout for a client before. Fantastic. Freaking loved it. She loves that kind of stuff. And that's a great workout to spot grow the glutes and the shoulders while being strengthening the lower back and core, and then just helping to lose fat overall. So really good. Beneficial for a lot of goals. Whereas contrasting a similar concept for size workout, where we still want to work the glutes, we still want to work the shoulders, but we still want everything else to grow as well. So for that example, we might still warm up with a circuit of glute bridges and planks. That helps the person kind of get a mind-muscle connection with their glutes, and everybody needs core strength, so even if you're training for size, planks are helpful in the variation of planks that we tend to do. I hate static planks where you hold for time or put a plate on your back. They're stupid. There's a billion better ways to do planks. So then we do a circuit where if we keep that concept of kind of using RDLs and a split squat or a lunge variation, as person trained for size, they might do barbell alternating reverse lunges, or they might even do like just barbell reverse lunges where they keep all repetitions on one leg, then they switch to all repetitions on another leg. That barbell allows for a heavier weight load, and if they were to stay on a continual leg the whole time, you have more time under tension directly into a singular leg. So it creates more muscle damage. Then we might do a barbell RDL rather than a dumbbell RDL. Typically, people can use more weight for a barbell RDL, so again, that would create more muscle damage since that's their focus for size. For upper body, we might do one-arm dumbbell rows because they can be done heavier than a dual bent-over row. And we're going to do dumbbell seated overhead press because, like we said, is we want everything to grow. So a seated press is going to include our triceps, but it really helps beat up those shoulders as well. So it kind of gets shoulder growth plus arm growth. Then we might finish with a circuit where we do leg press and cable seated rows. So rather than the sleds and bodyweight squat jumps, we're just going to do leg press for a lot of repetitions, and we're going to do cable seated rows. Cable seated rows helps to build up the back some more, helps to grow the biceps because they're heavy bicep movement. And then leg press is just extra volume onto the legs, extra muscle damage. So these are some of the differences, some of the thought processes we take when we're thinking of training for shape versus size. The biggest difference is going to be nutrition. When you're training for shape, you need to time your nutrition so there's a surplus at the time of the workout, but a deficit at all other times. When you're training for size, meaning you want growth, but you want minimal fat gain, you're going to have a bigger surplus around your training and a very small surplus at other times. Then, as we said, for the training differences, people training for shape, you're going to have very isolated work specifically to the spots you want to grow. Then the rest of the workout is kind of general volume, just moving everything and anything. Then for size, the difference for you would be is that you're going to do mostly just isolated kind of work with big compound stuff. But your main focus is going to be on that 20 to 40 second time under tension, really trying to push some muscle damage. So hopefully this was helpful to get an idea of the difference when you train for shape versus size. You're still training for muscle damage in both aspects, but you're going to spend a little more of the workout doing general movement to kind of burn calories when you're training for shape. And the biggest difference, as we said, was the nutrition. So if you have any questions, we have monthly programming that's available for $50 a month with no contract. It includes training programs specific for size, specific for shape. It also includes nutrition programming information, morning motivational messages, accountability tracking, free technique review, free educational support, tons and tons and tons of resources available with that monthly programming. If you're interested in that, just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Cool. Okay, well, hopefully this was helpful. If you like it, click like, but more importantly, share it. The more we share the podcast, the more people we can help, the more just better the world can be. You know, we can help everybody be healthy and happy. So please consider sharing the podcast. To those who've been sharing it, thank you very much. If you like the information in the podcast, please click like on we can check us out on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. I'm always happy to hear from you, so thank you to those who reach out. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.